Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I ask that you would give us the Holy Spirit. How much more you, our Father in heaven, give good gifts. You give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And we're asking. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Prevailing thought here as we come to chapter 2. Elijah's effectively going to be done with his ministry. Came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Now the word there for whirlwind is a storm. Don't think of it as this one little tornado man sized comes down and picks up Elijah and takes him to heaven. But it is revealed here, and again, I remind you this as we come to this tonight. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And this is the way our Lord introduced the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. We come to this study, and Elijah knows he's going to heaven. And some of you might know of Luke Ripestra, assisting pastor up at Calvary Chapel in Iron River with Seth Waters. He died in a... he was repairing his truck, his pickup truck, and it fell on him while his family was away. And he died this last week. Or he moved to heaven. Now, the other part that's coming out is he had his entire life in order. He had set everything as if he was going to be dying. It turns out he was planning. He thought he was going to die from diabetes. So he had put absolutely everything in order in his life at 38. Everything he did at work, he had all the processes documented. He had everybody trained up and equipped in everything that he was doing. He left nothing undone. And it might be said that some have a premonition and even a phrase that he'd use. This is the last time I'm gonna work on this truck. Now, we come to a study like this tonight. Elijah knows he's going to heaven. It came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, by a storm, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now, here's my prevailing thought tonight. We need the Holy Spirit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Well, because we serve God. If you don't serve God, you don't really need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And this prevailing thought that arises not out of, I need the Holy Spirit for me so I can get more of the Holy Spirit so I can serve how I want to serve. No, when I serve the Lord, and I will quickly be into things that are well beyond me, or I'll be called upon to be instant in a necessity of one right in front of you who has prayer needs, and it might be need of healing, it might be need of a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, they might need a prophecy from the Lord, and or words of comfort that you have nothing within you to share with anybody. Now, we come to this place, and right here in verse 2, 2 Kings 2:2, Elijah said to Elisha, and this is it. He's been serving Elijah for 10 years. Okay? He's been serving Elijah for 10 years. So, Kelly, is the amp on back there? It's humming away. We don't need it. There we go. Okay, where was I?
10 years.
We need a new... The amp's 10 years old? Okay. He's been serving Elijah for 10 years. Oh. Now, at first glance, this part... And I'm going to repeat something for us. Go back to 1 Kings 18. Now, along the way, as we teach the scriptures, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, First Kings 18:15, Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand." That's a call for the servants. Notice Elisha's words in 2 Kings 2. "As the Lord lives, and your soul lives." Do you know what Elisha has done? When Elijah came by and laid his mantle on him and really called him by way of, remember that still small voice where Elijah rose up and Elijah had something to do? He was to anoint Elisha as the next prophet for Israel. And this phrase, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And so right there in 2 Kings 2:2, you can have here, Elisha is a servant. And he's not going anywhere. Now, if I could encourage all of you tonight along these lines, servants serve. John 12:26. And so you're going to need a couple places here as I introduce the thought here of Elisha's life. And Jesus served, and those that follow him, they serve. Now, you should not have a problem. Elisha served Elijah, and as he's serving Elijah, he's serving God. As we serve one another in love, think of the calling. Think of the calling to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, or a pastor and teacher. Right, those sent for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. As you serve God's people, it's you get it right in line with serving God. That John 12:24. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So John 12:25, that's Elisha. That's the Apostle Paul. That's Peter. And then you can put your name in there. And if you've answered this, "If anyone serves me," John 12:26, "if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." We come to a study like this tonight, and I find that this phrasing, "As the Lord of hosts lives, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives," is, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ as long as I have breath, okay? As long as I have, faculty, I'm going to serve him and what he's called me to do. And I find Elisha serving God 10 years as he served Elijah, and the day has come for Elijah to go to heaven. Elisha says, "I'm not leaving you." Now, just establish here our great need for the Holy Spirit as we serve God. Luke 12. "Let your waist be girded." So Luke 12:35, you find your way there. We got time tonight. I'm only going through one chapter. Now, I'm going to introduce here, serving the Lord in the last days. Okay? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because we're going to be called upon. We're going to need the Holy Spirit with his gifts, his calling, his power. The Holy Spirit gives definite calls into the ministry, as he did with Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas in Acts 13. Jesus' teaching, "Let your waist be girded, your lamps burning. You yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So Luke 12:37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or the third watch, come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now, we come to this study tonight and Elisha's declaration. Elijah's saying, stay here. Again, don't back away from the testings that the Lord gives you in the ministry. Okay? There's 1,000 reasons to quit. Okay? There's even another who will say, you know, Elijah can say to Elisha, I you stay here. Okay? So I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Now, and just reading through Acts, and Paul says, I'm bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. Okay? And you can sit and fight against the scriptures. I'm not one who does that. The Holy Spirit testified every place where Paul went that bonds and chains awaited him in Jerusalem. Here you have Elisha, again, bound to serve. Seed of wheat falls in the ground, dies, right? Does not remain alone. The life laid down, the being one who serves. Now in this last day, serving and finding out amongst the prophets, again, having knowledge, words of knowledge, gifts of prophecy, do you not know that your master will be taken from you today? Yes, I know. That's the Apostle Paul going up to Jerusalem. Yes, I know chains await me. None of these things move me, he declares to the elders at Ephesus. The I am not afraid to testify and if necessary suffer and if necessary die for the Lord when I go up to Jerusalem. Right. Elisha's saying, yes, I know, keep silent. Hold your peace. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But as he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, now, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now, just make the decision. Make the decision. I serve to the end. It's one of the key things that you could take to heart today, what you see in Elijah, what you see in Elisha. What I love about Elijah, he is not running around doing all of the last minute activities he's got to do before the Lord's going to take him to heaven. He's walking in obedience to what the Lord is telling him to do, just like he did every other day in his life. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? For obedience. Acts 5:32, for obedience. You know how easily we could disobey and do our own thing and get caught, sidetracked onto some other venture, some shiny object, some lesser sort of, compromise. Satan loves compromise. And I love to see this both in Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is doing what the Lord's told him to do, and Elisha saying, as long as you're alive, as long as God lives, nothing's changed. I serve God. I'm with you. Okay? Now, we'll take this to heart tonight because it's always been taught to me in ministry that I need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I met a young man in Africa a year and a half ago, and he absolutely convinced he didn't need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Like, do you even hear yourself? But just sitting there and talking to him, he had it all backwards. He thought the Holy Spirit was something for him that he could have this power for what he wanted to do. and evidently didn't have anything he needed to do. But if you consider this baptism with the Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit is God, living God. This is the Holy Spirit. We don't get a hold of him for our ventures when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and that baptism with the Holy Spirit. So we become entirely available to him. So you have, I will not leave you. I'm going to serve God. I'm serving till the end. I'm staying. Okay, quite an undertaking to hear men at a Hear What the Spirit Says conference have something different than that. It's confounding to me. I will not leave you. Then they come to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on this onto the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Now you have here the two groups of prophets agreeing together in the spirit, that the Spirit's bearing witness that Elijah's going to heaven. Elijah's leaving today. And then you've got Elisha saying, I'm going to serve him right up until the last minute that I possibly can. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. And he said, as your soul lives, and as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Now, between six, right after six, find your way to Revelation. And one of the things I regret about teaching through the scriptures is it takes so long for me to get through them as we go through this twice a week. And then there's parts I haven't taught for a while. I'm like, oh, I want to get to this. And I like to repeat Revelation really no more than every 3 or 4 years. Because it's become so important for the servants of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. Now, there's an application here with Elijah. Elijah, in many ways, is a type of Christ. There's only two in the Old Testament who go to heaven without dying. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Okay? So you have that in Genesis. And then you have Elijah in this chapter. And they both become a type of the rapture of the church. But with Elijah, there's also a type of Christ in here that Elisha is serving him. And it's a lot like the apostles. As Jesus is with them after the resurrection, then he's ascending into heaven, and they see him go up. And then the Holy Spirit can be given. And in many ways, I look at this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And then the blessing of those who hear and read and keep this. But this is your manual. Book of Revelation is the manual for the servants of Jesus Christ in the end. And setting this forth concerning the necessity of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is introduced. John sees him and hears the greeting of Jesus, who is grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and thus describing the one who has the seven spirits. And again, if I could plead with you tonight, this came to me very naturally, supernaturally, as I read through the scriptures and then studied and heard on this baptism with the Holy Spirit, that when I understood what was available to me according to the book of Acts, and I already answered the call, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. It's like, I need this baptism with the Holy Spirit. And the first time that I understood that I needed that baptism with the Holy Spirit, I was driving in my 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix company car. Wish I remember the license plate. And listening to teachings just regularly going through the scriptures, and I pull my car over I like to take the off ramp, and then I go onto the on ramp and pull over. And right there on the spot, prayed for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, subsequently, next time I was together at the men's retreat down at Lake Chetek, ice water baptisms in the spring, chunks of ice still floating on the lake there. And Pastor Chick described, we're going to do water baptisms, and after that we're going to give opportunity for baptism with the Holy Spirit. We go down, just waiting. All the water baptisms are done, and nobody said another word about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, wait a minute, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we come to 2 Kings 2, and this is really where I want to address us tonight. If I could convince all of you, this is the midweek Bible study. This is not your Sunday service. This is typically the group that gathers on the midweek study, and usually it's the ones that I'm going to serve God. The servants are the ones who are at the midweek study. And as I take this upon us tonight, and really the desire, I had that desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit because I'm going to serve God. After backsliding all those years, making it back because Jesus came and got me, and then I'm going to serve him. And somewhere in there is that as Jesus serves, he's the seed of wheat. I'm with him. He serves, I serve. He lays down his life, I lay down my life. He says, deny self, take up the cross. I deny self, take up the cross. Him I am going to serve. And in seeing that, as Jesus served and he went forth to do the ministry, the Holy Spirit came upon him at that baptism and remained upon him. And I know that I needed this baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now in verse 7, the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, divided this way and that, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now, if I could absolutely convince you concerning the power of God, concerning the baptism with the Holy Spirit, as recorded in the book of Acts, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Uttermost parts of the earth is the way that verse ends. If I could fully convince you, this is exactly what this verse is about, in that which is recorded in times past, that God has not changed and his power is still available for today. Thus, you have both of the records of the Red Sea parting. And wasn't that cool? We got to drive right by that spot on that extended tour out of Israel to see the Red Sea crossing. They went through on dry ground. But the other one was in the days of Joshua, when the priests put their foot into the Jordan at flood stage, and the waters piled up, and they crossed over on dry ground. Elijah takes his mantle, again, power of God, miraculous, parts the waters, they go through on dry ground. Now, you can give all the commentary you want about the days of Elijah concerning the days of serving other gods, the days of calling the people back to repentance, one of the lowest points for the people of God. And yet God is saying very clearly that my power has not changed. I convince you fully, right? Those who say that the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit are not for today, they have to deny so much of Jesus Christ's power and truth of Scripture. And right here in verse 8, crossed over on dry ground. And so my answer is yes, today. What's the answer? Do you not know that your master is going to be taken from over you today? Yes, today. Right? And it comes down to this working of the power of God upon Elijah. 8 miracles are attributed to Elijah in the scriptures. Okay, the miraculous power of God. You can teach the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just New Testament. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what may I do for you? Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." I absolutely love how Jesus declared that the Holy Spirit will come after I go back to heaven. And describing unto the apostles that they were to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, thus introducing to them that he is the one who had baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that they were to wait, and then therefore he taught them to ask for the Holy Spirit. And here you have a great picture with Elijah and Elisha, and he's stayed with him. Now, get to verse 9 in your life. Get there. Don't leave. Don't quit. Don't stop. Okay? Even if the ones that you're serving with are like, you don't have to do this anymore. Do you know that God gives tests like that all the time? You don't have to go do this. I like how my pastor introduced the equipping of the call for the minister to be a pastor and teacher. And again, gifts and callings without repentance, irrevocable. And he says, if you can go do anything else, go do that. What's Elijah saying to Elisha? Stay here. That's enough. You've done enough. You've served long enough. And what's Elisha saying? No, to the end. To the end. I'm staying with you to the end. And he gets to verse 9. My encouragement to you, get to verse 9. So the question is, right, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Yes, today. And I want to get to today. You can put it there in your notes. Today, right, do not harden your heart concerning what the scriptures teach on the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That those that serve God, if Jesus, as he began to serve, went forth in the power of God, needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do his servants need the Holy Spirit? Now, first pastor's conference I went to, 2003, I believe, Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference, West Coast. Mostly senior pastors, plus some others. And they give the opportunity for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and a large group of men stand up. And everybody's like, "Oh, this is so cool." I'm like, "This isn't cool. How did you become a pastor without the baptism with the Holy Spirit?" Ask what I may do for you. So as we're on the shore of Lake Shetek, and I ask for the baptism with the Holy Spirit and receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. What may I do for you before I am taken away? Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind or by a storm into heaven. What do you want me to do for you? Find your way to Luke 11. Now it's been said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Is that true, Sarah? Horsegirl@yahoo.com or something like that. Right? Pretty much. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. No. Luke 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? You know, fish, serpent. Verse 13, if you then, being evil, now, again, just study your scriptures. You being evil, that evil is the effect of evil. It's not the source of evil. It's not saying you're an evil parent. No, it's you who are living in this world in the effect of evil. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father? And so right there, in no shadow, no turning, James speaks of every good and perfect gift comes from above. Luke writes in the book of Acts 2, the gift and promise of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you listen closely on this. How much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so this is, you're the horse, I'm leading you to the water tonight. Okay? Now, I can't make you ask the question. Right? But I can salt your oats. I remember reasoning with this young knucklehead who said he didn't need the power and baptism with the Holy Spirit. And then on the way home, when he saw all the things that God did, and I'm just straight up with you, he wasn't doing them through this young knucklehead. He was doing them through the men who had been praying and waiting and receiving and had what the Holy Spirit wanted them to do and gave them the power to do it. And God did it right before his eyes. Now, I don't know how he went home. I just know how he came. He had no need for the Holy Spirit because he wasn't doing anything. Okay? When you serve God, and you're going to answer God, and you're going to serve him and what he's called you to do, here is me salting your oats now. If you're going to serve him, you need the Holy Spirit. How does that come across in the scriptures? Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. But before you go, wait until you are endued with power from on high. Okay. As you serve him, you absolutely need this baptism with the Holy Spirit in order to go forth and do what God has called you to do. I understood very clearly that, I mean, that's why I couldn't believe all of these men standing up at a Calvary Chapel pastors' conference to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And some of those men are already pastoring. I'm like, how did you get into this? Who, nobody told you? When I read my Bible, everyone in the book of Acts is filled with the Holy Spirit who's serving God. And as they go out and they find the other servants in the places where they go, they lay hands on them and pray for them, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? There would be absolutely, again, no power of truth to what we're reading in Elijah's day, except the Holy Spirit with that mantle parts that water, dry ground. It says, God has, the power of God is right there. And when I read this and then I offer it to you tonight, this is me salting your oats. Ask. Ask your Father for the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm going to serve God. This is Elisha. Serving 10 years. Now, I'll do some math for you tonight. It was 13 years ago that we were working on converting this space from the paint store to a church building. 13 years ago, 2 days ago, that we got our building permit. It was 10 years ago where I introduced Hear What the Spirit Says to the church, what the Holy Spirit had said to us about being Sardis. So, again, and maybe some of you have been here for 10 years. I'll take verse 9. Get to verse 9. I've got many who are no longer around after 10 years. But now, for yourself, I'm like, I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to seek and search this out, and I'm going to stay where God put me. Again, so planted, right? Seed of wheat falls in the ground, dies. I'm planted there. God put me there. And I'm there with Jesus and I serve Jesus. And as long as I'm serving Jesus and I lay down my life and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All Elisha is saying, what a thing to ask. He's like, a double portion. Whatever you have, Elijah, I want what you have and more. And this is the salt. You've asked a hard thing. So there in verse 10, okay, nothing is impossible with God. Answer the call. I mean, why delay anymore? Okay? Answer the call. And as you answer, Elisha's on a 10-year serving plan. We're always in a hurry. We want to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit tonight and have fruitful, mature ministry tomorrow. Or maybe 10 years. Again, just get this in. You've asked a hard thing, but if you see it, so the Lord has made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. What do you hear? What do you see? I love what God says to Jeremiah. And the call of Jeremiah to the ministry is, what do you see? Okay? This is Elijah with Elisha. And he says to Elisha, you've got to see what I see. If you see this, then God's going to do this for you. How do you read the book of Acts? Do you read it that's a historical book and that's all in the past? Well, I read it that Jesus still is giving definite calls into the ministry by his Holy Spirit, and he still gives the power of the Holy Spirit in these very definite calls into the ministry, and then he sets you forth into that call. Therefore, it's not impossible. There's guys, and it should be known to you, Mike McIntosh had lost his mind on drugs, and God totally restored his mind. You go right through the list of the supernatural power and calling. I know guys did not read a book, could not read until they get saved, and they learn to read because they want to read this Bible. And a lot of those guys are Calvary Chapel pastors. And they study and they read. And I look at this for Elijah and Elisha, double portion. You've asked a hard thing, but if you see this, if I see what this is in the scriptures. I see the necessity of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Then it happened as they continued and talked on, they're separated, or else Elisha would have gone up to heaven with him. And then this storm takes him up, and Elisha saw it. Verse 12. My father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. Later on, Elisha's going to ask God to open the eyes of his servant when all the armies are surrounding the city where he's at, and he just offers up a prayer to God. He says, God, open his eyes. And then he sees all the armies and hosts and flaming chariots around them. And my encouragement to you here is ask God to open your eyes. Now listen up on this. The blind man, right, in Jericho. Where are they at? Jericho. Okay? At the Jordan, they're back to Jericho. The blind man, son of David, have mercy on us, the two of them. What does Jesus say to them? What do you want me to do for you? Now, that we might receive our sight. Receiving our sight is the same phrase in the Greek and the way they'd be interacting where you would say, look up. Sight from above. Same as looking up. I can see because this came from above. And this is what this Elisha saw. His eyes are opened. What do you want God to do for you? That I would see my need for the Holy Spirit. Again, being born from above, now I'm asking that I would be filled, or the releasing of the power of God upon my life for the work of ministry. Elisha saw it. took his hold of his clothes and tore them in two pieces. So he's mourning as Elijah is taken from him. And then he also took up the mantle. Now, mantle, again, a flowing garment, but also comes into this phrase, a goodly vine. Okay? The adornment of the vine, also in that with a garment. He takes up the mantle, goes to the bank of the Jordan, and he takes the mantle in verse 14 of Elijah, had fallen from him, struck the water, and said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Sons of the prophets saw it. They were from Jericho, saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Now, they're not worshiping him. They're acknowledging that the power of God that was upon Elijah is now upon Elisha. This baptism with the Holy Spirit, it's recorded in Acts 8 that when Philip went up to Samaria and preached Christ, they were saved. And when the apostles came, they laid hands on and prayed for them, and they received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and they saw it. So much so that Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the gift. And so it's evident that this power of God now rests upon Elisha. Then they said to him, "Say, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on some mountain or into some valley." And he said to them, "You shall not send anyone." Now, you have a choice. Right? As that all goes on, and what did God say to you? Well, what God said to Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's going to go to heaven. Elisha knows he went to heaven. And even the 50 were there, and they heard all this, and yet they're going to go looking for him. He says, "Don't send anyone." They urged him till he was ashamed, and he says, "Send." Therefore, they sent the 50 men, searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they had come back to him, for he stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Now, this place of you, again, when you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you have received that, and you're called upon to stand upon that, and again, my encouragement to you, absolutely stand upon what you believe the Holy Spirit said to you. Okay? If it's a word of prophecy and he's showing you things to come, hold to it. Okay? If he's given you a vision and you know it's from the Lord, you got to hold to it. Now, I got this stump in the backyard that's got a sprout. Okay? Hold to that. I brought that in front of everybody at the men's thing in Omaha, and I said, against my better judgment, okay, so what did the Holy Spirit say to you? And each one of you should be able to to hold that and have that, what the Holy Spirit said to you. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice the situation of the city. It's pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl." They put salt in it, and they brought it to him. "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. He went out to the source of water, cast in the salt there, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, which according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. At some point in this discussion, it has to come up to this. The gifts and power of God. You know, it has to come up to that. And insert here. 10 years serving and waiting and watching and trusting. And I don't know what it means for you. Okay? But I know that Elisha, as he served Elijah, saw all these things. Joshua served Moses all those years. I mean, Joshua cries out to God for the sun to stand still, and I don't know if the earth stops rotating. I don't know how God did it. For almost a whole day, the sun doesn't go down. You know, and you have all these things that Jesus said, and you have this healing, this miracle that takes place. And my encouragement to you is, you got to make it all the way through. You can't, it didn't work and I give up. I mean, maybe you need to learn exactly how the Holy Spirit wants to work in all these situations where you say, now I know God wants to do this one. So 38 years this man is begging at the gate called Beautiful. How many times did Jesus go by him? Jesus didn't heal him. Acts chapter 3, he gets healed then. And in an instant, Peter looks at him, and again, even Paul, when he's out, sees that has faith to be healed. It's not every single person. And this is the part that you get. The water remained healed according to the word of Elisha, which he had spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." Now, and at first glance, again, these aren't little kids, they're youths. And the other part is here, they are, again, speaking not so much about him as you know, what he looks like, as much as they are counting growing up in the world where Baal is worshipped. And he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Now, it doesn't say they were killed. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. And as far as we're going tonight. But to go through this like this, and then to offer up to you, and in many ways this becomes very important, because not because we don't believe and practice the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the laying on of hands, because we do practice that. But because we practice that, this can become so familiar, or you hear about it, and like that young knucklehead that I met in Africa, having no need for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that even if he did ask, he's not going to receive anything. And just rereading and reading a few books, I can't remember which one it was, but the whole point of this description of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and this guy coming to meet with this pastor and coming for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't want the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He wanted some power so he could be glorified in the eyes of others. And he says, "I can't give you the baptism with the Holy Spirit, because that's not what that is." So I want to do this tonight, and I guess it's just that straightforward. Normally it's me praying the prayer for, you know, to convince you, or again, I'm praying to God, but I'm praying openly so you can hear me pray it. What about tonight, that if all after all this, the prayer that is in you now, that you pray that to God concerning, if your answer, "I'm his servant and I'm going to serve him. I've been serving and I'm not leaving. I'm going to continue. And I know what he showed me. I know what he said to me. I know what he's called me to do. I believe what he's called me to do. And if I get into this calling, I know that I need this power and baptism, this baptism under the power of God, where he has my life and he gets to do all these things that he desires to do through my life." And at that point, that would originate with you, whatever that is, rather than me originating it to you So this is me now having led you, the horse, to the water. And if you want to drink of the water, then Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you had known, you would have asked me for this living water. And if you're there tonight and you say, I'm going to serve him, and I know I need this baptism with the Holy Spirit, well then, ask him. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your people and what we see with Elijah and Elisha and serving till the end, and you taking Elijah up, and again, a hard thing to see what you showed and what this is. And Lord, I don't know how those two men got to that, but they did. And if they can get to it, Jesus, you said that we could be baptized with your Holy Spirit because you went to the Father. So here we are tonight asking for your Spirit. And as you hear your people tonight, I pray that you would show them what to do. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.